shall rise out of Israel.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us.
Oh, son.
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
So it's from a movie, I think around 2012 that was taken. There may be some historical inaccuracies in there. Most likely there are. And yet I found it quite profound when I first watched it. One of the reasons is because sometimes seeing things acted out, you pick up on things that maybe you're not used to when you're used to reading a story. And so for me, the way the wise men who had come sort of worshipped Jesus in a way that was different, but we'll get back to that in a moment. Those wise men, they're seeking a king and they're excited. There's been this promise that there would be a king, and that's what they've been waiting for. And when the king arrives, they go so that they can see the king. And Mary and Joseph are just amazed at the response. I don't know how many people here, how many of you have given birth to a child, and whether you would like all those people to come in to the room straight after that has happened. Probably not. But I started tonight by saying there's this phrase, which actually is a little bit later in John. It's in verse 14 from what we're looking at tonight. But it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And you might ask, well, what word? And John's Gospel, as Sophie read to us a moment ago, is full of some things that are a bit complicated. The first three verses were like this, just so that you remember what it said. I've gone too far. Stop it. There you go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. It's a bit complicated, isn't it? So just to break it down for a moment, there is this Word which was God, was with God, and that Word made everything, made you, made me. It's somehow the beginning of life as we know it, or the life as we know it, has come from this thing or this person that is called the Word. And it's connected to God. In fact, it is God. And I think to understand that, we need to understand the way that God is a little bit different to us for a moment. So John is, it's very different to the other Gospels where you get the story of Jesus' birth. John's Gospel sort of throws us into the deep end with this heavy stuff about the Word. But it's interesting, when God says something, His Word, it's truth. If God speaks, then what He speaks is reality. Is that true for you? It's not true for me. when I say something, I can say that a banana is an apple, but it still remains a banana. For God, that's not true. But what God says, because He's God, when He says it, there's no difference between reality and what He says, whereas for me, there is. And so apparently, this Word, God spoke, and everything came into being. It was as He said it was. That's the way God is. When we say things are, often they're not. And in fact, our whole lives are a bit of a, often sort of, not quite in step with reality. I don't know if you've noticed that. And that's actually one of our problems as human beings, is that we're not in step with the truth. Psychology Today, one of my favorite websites, says according to a 2015 review article, constant lying is associated with an array of negative health outcomes, including high blood pressure, increased heart rate, vasoconstriction, and elevated stress hormones in the blood. Lying is where we say something and it's not true, it's not reality. But sometimes we don't have to say a lie. Sometimes we're not even aware that the things that we think and the things that we say actually are not lined up with reality. And when those things happen, I think there's a little part of us that somehow is lesser for it. There's a part in the Old Testament in Jeremiah that says the heart is deceitful above all things. And that's not God. That's me. And you might recognize it in yourself, perhaps, that reality and what I say don't always line up. But God's not like that. So we get this picture of God and who he is. He's always true. And because he's always true, when he speaks, it's powerful, dynamic, living and real, unlike when we speak. And so there's this idea of the word in the beginning of John, which is also an idea of light. The two things seem to be the same thing in John 1. There's the word and it's a light as well. And if you like, we have the idea of a light bulb, don't we? Of where ideas come from, where some, you know, it brings light where there's darkness. It helps us understand things, perhaps. And this is the light, the word of God, that we think about actually at Christmas time. But we don't think about it in terms of word and light. Usually at Christmas time, we think of this as quite different. And my thing's not working. There you go. That's how we usually think of this word or this light at Christmas time, as a baby, which is really bizarre because a baby's really small. A baby is really vulnerable. And even though some carols say that they don't make any crying, that's not true. They do. But this is very different. It's hard to look at a baby and go, wow, this is the one that created everything. But that's why Christmas is so special, because the baby that was born on Christmas Day, the Word, this light of the world, is the one that was before time began, but just happens to have come into the universe in this point of history 2,000 years ago. I was looking for pictures of wise men on the internet as I was preparing, and something struck me about the wise men. That's just one of many pictures, if you want to Google wise men, that you will get. It's very different to what happened in the video, isn't it? Did you notice? In the video, they actually fall down on their faces in front of Jesus. That's what worshipping is for them in their time and culture. You would honor somebody to the degree that you would put yourself physically below them. And when we're talking about a baby, that means you've got to get pretty low. That's not what happens with 90% of the photos with the wise men. In fact, I think the wise men most of the time look like grandparents. They bring gifts and they stand at a distance and look proud. That's what grandparents do. Grandma's looking pretty rough, but they're the grandparents. But that's not the reality, I think, that happened. The wise men were seeking a baby because they knew that baby was a king, and that baby was exceptionally special. And there was no other baby, I think, that they journeyed for so that they could go and worship. But this baby, they did. They worshipped him face down because of who he was. John goes on in verses 4-5 to tell us a little bit more about this word, this light, this baby Jesus, and who he actually was. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? The light shines in the darkness, he says, and the darkness has not overcome it. There's this darkness that's crowding in on the light, this baby that was born that would become a man. There was a darkness that crowded in, and believe it or not, eventually actually snuffed out his physical life as a human for a time, but could not stop him, the light of the world, the Word of God. And the temptation when there is light is to sometimes do that, to find it to be too bright. Perhaps it exposes us for who we are too much. And yet the light in itself is good and helpful. Verse 9, to finish off, John says this, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, that this true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. And what is this light's name? I'm sure you've worked it out by now. It's Jesus. And Jesus, in some ways, I've always thought, like, if you want to understand God and especially God's love and his desire to connect with us, looking at Jesus is a great way of understanding that a little bit more. It was God becoming like us so that he could relate to us and we could relate to him in a way that we couldn't otherwise. It's also, as it says there from John 3:16, that he loved us so much that he sent Jesus so that if we could believe in him, then we wouldn't die, but we would have eternal life. And so it's a really awesome time of year, and I'd love for a moment to encourage you, not just today or tomorrow on Christmas Day when we celebrate Jesus' birth, but also throughout this next year leading up to the following Christmas as well, to think about the fact that God came as a baby so that you would know him and he would know you better. There's an invitation there. There's a gift there, isn't there? Now, I don't know about at your place, but we have a tree at our place. And at the moment, under our tree are a lot of gifts. And I think I know what is in one of them. But there's a lot of gifts that are unknown, and a lot of dads out there I know don't know what are in the gifts, but there'll be surprises for many dads tomorrow. But the idea about gifts, isn't it, that you actually take the gift and you unwrap it. Otherwise, what use is it if it's just left there? So I want to encourage you. What does it mean to accept the gift of Jesus? This baby that came, this very special baby, this one that is the Word of God, the one that is the light of the world. Well, at the heart of that is, or the answer to that is, a relationship. It's a relationship above anything else. That is at the very heart of it. And that's why he became human, because that was the best way, I think, for him to be able to relate to us, or at least for us to be able to relate to him. So there's this gift of a relationship, a connection with Jesus. What does that look like? So for some of you, I'm sure you've investigated that. For some of you, you may have grown over the years to be very close to Jesus. And you might be somebody who walks with Jesus regularly, every day, spending time with him, talking to him, acknowledging that he is there, and growing closer to him over time. But for some of us here tonight, maybe for you it's something that is a foreign idea for you or something that you're not sure about. I'd encourage you to investigate, and maybe the simplest thing I can say succinctly is to do everything that you can to move towards him. Make space for him, make time for him, acknowledge that he is there, speak to him, ask him things, and be still with him and listen to him. And to do that over this year, that you might actually accept that gift and grow in that relationship with him. Well, I'm going to invite Lorna and Jack up, and we're going to sing you a song, which is just a way of, I guess, telling you a little bit more about, or reminding you a bit more of, the Christmas story. It's to a very well-known tune, but it's different words. And maybe just as it's playing and as you're thinking about the words, it's a great opportunity as well, if you want to be reminded that Jesus is there and that he wants to connect with you and that he's calling you. And so it might be an opportunity just to accept that invitation while we sing this song.